Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Of May 2026. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody.
And I've probably said this. I mean, Webcology has been around for almost 20 years. I have to have said this at least once before, but this, we're reporting to you on a day that the universe has changed. And it's kind of a strange thing because you often feel like Wile E. Coyote in the old Roadrunner cartoons, you know, suspended in midair as you've run off the cliff, not really quite sure where the ground is beneath you, and you know, hoping that by the time you notice there is no actual ground beneath you, you don't really fall to your death several hundred meters down off the cliff. Indeed. So Google made some changes. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Before we get to that, you've probably felt something that's actually very likely has something to do with the changes Google announced. Google's got a May 2026 core update. A couple of quick facts on it. It launched this morning, around 11:45 this morning. It'll take a couple of weeks to roll out. It's a content reviewing update, not a penalty. It said it's going to reward good content on great web pages. What are they calling that content? A non-commercial or something?
A commodity, yeah. A non-commodity and commodity content.
It's a global update.
I had a discussion with some people this morning, though. They were saying it's only about relevance, the core updates, and every core update I've ever worked on and successfully recovered, all the traffic has a huge technical component. But this one sounds like it'll be a little bit more on the content side, but I would still make sure to check your technical too, because I've always had a big technical issues that weren't causing the site any issues until the update ran through. Yeah. And I've been on the site for years, like super obvious, not something you have to go digging for. So,
I have to say things to you, Christine, that really frustrate you like this. What exactly is content? Because Google perceives content in a bunch of different ways. And if you don't have your site crawlable or, technically optimized for Google or other crawlers to read, you may have amazing content that it can't actually parse or understand.
Exactly. That's why I was a little surprised it was a debate this morning. As the people I was talking to are like, it's just relevance. I'm like, no, because the reason I know that is because I do the content stuff first always. Because if your content's great and you have issues with your site crawl or weight or speed or anything, then your content won't surface the way you want it to. It won't do as well as it can. So I always do technical first. And often it takes technical changes, take a little while. And the new update will roll out just after we finish the technical changes before we get to anything else. And they'll get 100% recovery. But when I do the stuff additionally, before the new update, when we have time, I'll get 120% or 130%. So I always find that the technical is a massive component. I have never had a site where we only did technical on a core update not get 100% recovery, as long as the client listened to me.
Moreover, I mean, think of all the things that Google could be assessing when considering content. I mean, I think internal linking structure is mm-hmm. something Google assesses sure. content by. So it's more than what you see on page. It's what your SEOs have been talking to you about, hopefully talking to you about, pestering you on for the last several months.
The best way to diagnose it is as far as we know, this has never changed. The core update is about your money or your life sites, but they don't know that a site is your money or your life. They know the query going to that site that matches to the page is your money or your life. So if you look at your roots of your queries and you see where the drop is, those pages are usually where your issue lies, because you'll see the drop on a root query. Like Someone had like one time nightshade vegetables, and nightshade was like the root query on a bunch of pages. So we went through those and found out what was going on, and of course then fixed it. So look for your root queries that have dropped, because usually in a core update, not all pages have dropped, but a lot may drop. And look for your big technical issues, and then of course check your content relevance. And as Jim said, content can be like different things to Google. So there's content quality, there's content relevance, there's neural matching, where your content is matching the queries that people are using to find the site. There's all sorts of different things. So content quality can be a big thing, and core updates are about all potential ranking signals, but it can be everything.
Absolutely. Now, core updates are also to change Google systems or integrate Google systems with new things that they're introducing, new ways they're going to be looking at information and presenting it on websites to bring it back to or present it to their audience, to search users. Are they searchers? Okay. So here's where things are going to sort of take a sidetrack on Webcology, because we refer to Google users as search users all the time. And that's what they are, because Google is, in fact, a search engine. Except, well, I mean, it's still a search engine, google.com, right? It's where you go to search for stuff. But Google had a, well, they had Google at Google I/O, Google's annual developer conference. They made a massive announcement in that they're going all in on AI. The search box, the search experience, the whole Google. Christine, this is hard because every time I've said Google for the last, I don't know what, 25 years of my life, I've meant 30 years of my life, I've meant search.
Well, and it is search. It's just different kind. Let's before we get into that, though, let's just really quickly. Everything announced at Google I/O, you can look up most of these. We are not going to cover most of these, obviously, or may cover a couple of them later. Google has new smart glasses coming. Google expands AI identification tool to Chrome and search. New Gemini model and tools. We're going to talk about that. Introduces Gemini Omni, a multimodal AI that knows the world. That's part of the Omni box that we're going to talk about. Google drops price of highest tier AI plan as Gemini gets more powerful. Yet their Flash plan went way up, their Gemini Flash. Google asks YouTube, finds the exact part of the video that answers your question. Google search is getting an AI heavy makeover. We're going to talk about Google wants AI to be your fun personal shopper. We're also going to talk about that. Turn your spoken ramblings into coherent articles with Google Docs Live. Oh my gosh. Google doubles down on AI creativity with updates coming to Flow and Music. Flow Music. Project Genie can now base imaginary worlds on real places, and Google Omni will bring only more AI slop and skepticism. I'm not sure why that's listed as one of the items at Google I/O. I think that's the writer wrote that part, and it shouldn't be in those bullet points. And this is from CNET. So, anyway.
Incidentally, that is a line we might have made up ourselves when we get to
Yeah.
that
No,
part.
it's actually in there.
No, indeed. I see
Yeah.
it. I see it right there.
That's
Okay,
great.
smart glasses is coming soon. Well, that might work out. It certainly worked for Meta.
Oh, I don't know. Meta's had a rough week. We're not even covering
Well,
everything about it. I should say to everybody,
those
because it
poor
was Google
guys at Meta,
I/O.
I think, yeah. Okay,
Yeah.
Google I/O. Back to Google I/O.
Google I/O has cut some of their stories this week. We'll bring some of them back next week because they're not time sensitive, but important.
So I think the thing we actually kind of got to talk about is Gemini's AI model and tools being kind of all about agents now. I think that's where they really want to go with this.
Well, let's first talk about from SE Roundtable, Barry Schwartz, and then also Search Engine Land. We're using both articles. Google's new search bar, the Intelligent Search Box, which is their biggest update in years. So basically, they're supposed to have it today, but I don't have it. Jim doesn't have it yet. So we haven't actually gotten to use it ourselves. So all we can do is look at the article images and stuff. But Google says it's the biggest upgrade to search box in years. It expands as you type to allow you to add super long queries and prompts. It also has buttons to let you upload files, images, documents, Chrome tabs, and more for multimodal searches. It just looks like a big white page like you would find in any of the GPTs, and then you just start typing. The new AI search back is supposed to roll out yesterday in all counties, languages where AI mode is available. Again, I haven't seen it. Jim hasn't seen it. Liz Reed wrote, it's more intuitive than ever, dynamically expanding to give you space to describe exactly what you need, designed to anticipate your intent, and also helps you formulate your question with AI-powered suggestions that go beyond autocomplete. And you can search across modalities using text, images, files, or Chrome tabs as inputs. You'll continue to
Yeah.
get a range of results from search just like you do today. The new AI search box is starting to roll out today in all countries and languages where AI mode is available.
The cool thing about this, I mean, it's going to let you type in the text of your search and give you prompts if you want to add an image, if you want to add a video, if you want to add audio from a song, like an MP4 file. And then it will merge all of those inputs together to craft a generate an answer for you. It has memory, so it can remember the search journey that you have been on and the conversation you've had to get there. After your initial search is done, it sort of becomes like a chatbot experience where it guides you to the sets of answers that you want, and generally with extracting as much information as it possibly can from the video I'm looking at that outlines it, as much information as it possibly can from Gemini's knowledge base.
I would like to remind people that Google did not have permission to use people's knowledge bases when they created this tool, neither did any of the GPTs. So they took it and stole it from the actual creators, and that point should never be lost in this whole revolution we're going through. So Google is now taking all that information and summarizing it into a basically ChatGPT type of response. I don't know if it automatically kicks in because we can't tell that from the video because they're showing you how it works. So it automatically kicks in the videos. If it automatically kicks in, like I'm out. I don't want this slop every time I do a search. But I heard that it's supposed to be like you choose it, not that it's supposed to automatically do this every time you search.
I
So.
understand that the change happens on Tuesday. I mean, I heard today that it was going to be rolling out between
Yeah,
now
they
and
said
Tuesday.
that.
I understand it
So.
happens Tuesday.
Okay.
So we'll see if it's a if it's a immediate shift to chatbot-esque search.
I'm out. Like, I'm serious. I'm going to Bing. Like, I don't like it anyways because you don't know what's right and wrong, but I want to go to websites and find my information and know who I'm getting the information from, and I can trust it because we know. Just from a New York Times story that we covered a few weeks ago, that it's wrong, like all GPTs, quite often. So if you're looking up something you don't know, you might get information that's wrong and not know it.
As a researcher, I use several different search tools, some more specific than others. I'm like everybody, I've depended on Google. It is the mainstay, or it has been the mainstay. So that habit might change as a personally. As somebody who advises clients on how to be visible in on the internet in search, how to sell products. I'm not sure exactly what to tell though. Number one, do not abandon Google. Never bet against the largest player in the room. But what I will tell clients and what I'm going to tell SEOs right now, I mean, I think I riffed on this to you earlier, Christine. I mean, yeah, it's been about 10 blue links for the longest time, but it's only been about 10 blue links because that's where the main audience has been, with 90% of 90% or more of people doing searches using Google. SEOs for the last, what, 20 years have like optimized for Google, and everybody else has built their tools to read information the way Google wants us to optimize pages for it, because that's what everyone was doing for Google's benefit. That made it about the 10 blue links, but it was never actually about the 10 blue links. It was always about visibility, and that's where the maximum visibility was. It's still about visibility, but now it's going to be about knowing your consumer, knowing the audience that your clients are trying to reach and where they're most likely to be looking for information. And if they're like Christine, they may not be looking for it at Google. They might be looking for it more frequently at Bing. Maybe they're looking for it through social media. They're willing to share it. Maybe they're looking in the, I bet you 100 new directories set up in the next few months.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot. And I would like to say, so a lot. I read a lot on LinkedIn last night. I was up to like 2 in the morning reading LinkedIn because I wanted to see what people were thinking and saying. Not just people in our industry, people in other industries too. I see a lot of people saying, "Well, now it's about the citation, not the traffic." First of all, for your customer, your client, it is still about the traffic. They don't get the traffic. They don't. They don't care.
They want to sell stuff.
yeah, they don't care. So I want to tell you something about citations in search, and then one of my issues with what Google's done. But Jim and I are working for the same client. We can't say anything more about it. But that client offers a service, and they are frequently mentioned in AI overviews for the service. Google is not taking content from their pages very often and repurposing it. They're literally mentioning them as a recommended source for the service. In our analytics and GSC, we can tell when this happens because we'll get 40,000 impressions, 50,000 impressions, 100,000 impressions, 75,000 impressions. Not one of those has over 100 clicks. In fact, most of them have about 30 and 40 clicks. So being in that AI overview, even when you're mentioned and linked, doesn't mean you're going to get traffic from Google. So my biggest problem with what Google's done the whole time, not just today, the whole time, is you can use a user interface the way the page is designed in a way that encourages clicks. And Bing does that. Bing has, like, in their news section, every site that's mentioned in their AI overview has a whole card and an image and a title and a description. And then they put the AI summary below or to the right or above or something. Google has continually hidden the click to the publisher. There were times where there were no way to click to the publishers. There was a long time when all you had is that tiny little icon to the right that most people that don't do search probably even knew existed. They added some cards. Now they are actually adding links into the content. Now we'll see if that holds because they've done that experiment before and it went away. Google did not have to take this much traffic from publishers. Of course, they're going to take some by answering questions ahead
Well, I
of time,
mean,
but they
last week we
didn't.
were reporting on Condé Nast expecting it to be single-digit traffic in the coming years.
Yeah, and they didn't have to do that. It didn't have to be done that way. It doesn't need to be done that way. Bing is not doing it that way. They did it because they want to keep you on AI search. The other thing they've done, and I've said this for a while, but now that we know with this rollout, I do believe it's true. They have done this before. They dumbed down the 10 blue links. So I looked for a medical search 2 weeks ago. I got 30 social media sites in the top 30. 30 social media sites for a medical issue. And that happened like frequently. And frequently social media came up. Or important searches for your money or life searches, not regular search. They've been dumbing down regular search to get people to use AI overviews. I guarantee it's going to come out in some DOJ document in 10 years. So when they say, like, oh, people are now using it all the time, sure, because they can't find anything in search. They literally can't find things in the regular links. So they've been forcing people with dark patterns and dumbed down search to use this stuff. Also, one other thing in their numbers we're going to report today, it's like 900 million a month use AI mode. You always have to use AI mode. If you look at the AI overview and click it, it goes into AI mode. That doesn't mean people are using AI mode. It means they have no way to not use AI mode if they want to read the rest of the AI overview, right? So they're forcing people into that pattern, which means they don't have the, in my opinion, they don't have the uptake that they say they do. It's a good selling point because we can say 900 million people use it a month. Except 800 million of those may be through AI overviews, just clicking to try to read the rest of the AI overview.
For
We
me,
don't.
an answer in AI mode comes up for virtually every search now. AI overviews is not triggered for every search. Hold on, I may have this in reverse. AI overview comes up virtually for every search. AI mode doesn't come up necessarily for every search. You can have to trigger it. But AI overviews is everywhere. It's ubiquitous now.
Yeah, but it's
I
just, yeah, I
figured that was a
weirdly.
sign more and more and more people were using it. I certainly know, I mean, again, I use it very frequently as a jumping off point, much like I used Wikipedia years ago as a jumping off point. Sometimes the information bears out and it's worth using, sometimes it doesn't, but at least I had a jumping off point to research from.
It's good. It's good for breadcrumbs. I don't think there's an issue with the breadcrumbs you can get from it, because then you can search yourself from the breadcrumbs. Maybe you didn't think of this, and it tells you, "Oh, look at this," and you're like, "Okay, cool. I'll go look at that." That's not how this is designed. This is designed to give you the entire answer at great length, like the original AI overviews, by the
Well,
way.
indeed, indeed.
Remember the original AI overviews were as long as 1,300 pixels tall, 1,400 pixels tall, and then they shortened it. So we're back to basically that. Just now it's called AI mode, right? And now it's still 1,400 or 1,500 pixels worth of information, meaning, but they're not pushing the search down anymore. They're opening up a new window, and they're putting a couple cards on the right-hand side, which very, like I told you, very few people will ever click.
So
But I don't, it didn't have to be done this way. It could have been done with some respect to the publishers, is my point.
you're suggesting strongly that they are intentionally Enshittifying themselves to
Yes.
force people into. So I'm going to take that a step further, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I suspect that Google absolutely intends to do away with the 10 blue links. They intend to offer information to users rather than giving them a selection of information. And furthermore, I'm pretty sure that the next iteration of search isn't going to be as much a find information as tell us what you want and let us go do it for you
That's
sort of
where
thing.
they put, first of all, they could have separated the products, right? They could have just organic search and then the rest. They didn't
But
need
they
to put
didn't.
together, right? Because, right. And but the thing,
So
but the thing is, yes, that we, and we do need to get into the rest of what they're announced, because it's all related to what we're talking about. I do think that, yeah, they plan on doing that. There are a lot of practical obstacles in that plan, in just relation to the entire industry of AI, which they can't necessarily account for. So.
There are, but I think that they're at the same time, if you look at how the, especially in the United States, how the social tech stack is shaping up, Google can send anything to quick ship delivery companies. Google can send any amount of Amazon is exactly the same way. In fact,
No, it's
often
not.
feels like Google, through agents, is trying to out Amazon Amazon.
Probably, but we also know the first agentic shopping experience with Walmart and OpenAI was such a disaster for Walmart that they removed it completely. Their
Well, yeah,
conversions went down, their
but
sales went down. You know, OpenAI was scraping prices. Now Google doesn't have to scrape prices, they have merchant
and
fees.
Google jumped right in there with UCP, and Walmart is all into this now.
Yeah,
So
but the
they're into it
point
with
was that.
Google, but they were not into it with OpenAI. I think it says more about OpenAI than it says about
Well,
agentic
I
shopping.
think it also says users, right? Okay. You know that old map, the funny joke? Here's how a man goes into the store, and here's how a woman shops. Remember that?
Sure.
You know, and a very gender-based. So, but we're just going to go off that because it's an older joke. But, you know, a woman walks around the store and looks at everything, and a man just goes straight for the products to the checkout line and leaves, right? There are two types of shoppers. There are shoppers that do that, not necessarily female or female. And then there's shoppers that like to browse and see. I like to touch quality, know what I'm looking at when I'm buying. So there's some things I don't need to do that for, but I still want to go to a website, look at the reviews, look at the images, look at what people did, how many people bought it, what, like if I buy a hair product, I go look in the videos of the hair product at that, right? So Google wants to be Amazon, but Google's not Amazon. And Google can't just take all this content because Google doesn't have the content. It's regurgitating content, right? Amazon has the content. So I think you're right. I think they want to compete with Amazon because that is their biggest competitor. That was outlined like 4 or 5 years ago. But at the same time, they're not Amazon. They don't have a website, and they're using other people's stuff.
A stat that or a something I read this week that really freaked me out, mostly about the anti-AI revolution that's brewing, was that we now have it's now impossible to have a class of undergrads who haven't used AI their entire university experience. This is who Google's marketing to.
Yeah, except
Web
they don't want
Webcology's
it.
always been about where's Google going to be 5 years from now? Because they always flash their intentions ahead of time. Now, that timeline's accelerated exponentially. We used to be about where's Google going to be 5 years from now because it actually took that long to do stuff. Now they get that amount of stuff done, like, I don't know, in 6 months. But I think this is who Google is flashing to us, who they're really, really who they see as their future customers. Should young
The
people ever use Google again?
By the way, we're gonna get a little into this, but Gen Z is rejecting AI because they see it as an existential threat to their existence, to their jobs, to their financial success, to their everything.
I
And
don't
of
see that.
course,
I
they
see Gen Z rejecting the AI that's going to screw them and embracing the AIs that are going to help them.
I actually haven't seen them embrace AI in any of the articles, so maybe they do, and I'll have to do some research.
Well, in
But
real
they a
life, it seems
year
they are.
ago, they're actually not using it much. Just like they don't use a lot of social apps. Most Gen Z only have two social apps. I have like six. So, but anyway, so we'll see. But right now, I read an article last night, and I wish, unfortunately, I didn't remember where, 'cause I couldn't get the link. The sentiment in general about AI last year was fairly positive, right? It is not anymore. 80% of people have an 80%, like a large number of people hate AI more than ICE in this country. Like a large number of Americans.
Well,
So
that's in a weird way that's unsurprising. But AI has been marketed to them as something that's going to crush them. They're told that AI is going to take their jobs, render them redundant. No one's told them a plan on how to deal with their lives after the AI revolution. I think Microsoft senior vice president last week was heard to say that within 18 months, like what, 100% of white collar jobs, including his own, would be made redundant. So yeah, I can see young people rebelling against that version of AI with 100% clarity.
well, and let's be
But
clear, we're not talking about AI. We're talking
the
about machine
AIs that do the
learning.
writing for them, they're adopting it so fast that they're forgetting how to write.
Well, schools and colleges are trying to take that on, but
True.
the issue is just across generations too. It's not just the Gen Z generation, but they are more against it than you expect. Also, sociologically speaking, the next generation usually rejects the tech of the first generation in front of it. Like Facebook had the big problem because they were losing so many users, and that was because the next generation wasn't taking it up. So they had to do all these revamps to try to encourage them to come in, like buying Instagram and things of that nature, adding Snapchat features to Instagram, things that kind of stuff. So it's just natural for the rejection, but the rejection is pretty resounding across generations. It's not just Gen Z. So.
Nevertheless, I strongly urge people, or especially e-com owners, Universal Checkout Protocol, and be ready for the agentic shopping revolution. The bots are coming starting next week.
So, yes, I'd also say people start need to, you need to start looking for other platforms to get traffic from. Whatever those platforms are,
Yes.
wherever your customers are, you need to stop relying on Google. That's always been a suggestion, but now it's actually
Oh,
like
100%
a
reality.
must do. It's 100% reality. You can no longer rely on Google. We're SEOs. We make our living on people doing well on Google. Although I think, Jim, our job is going to change to algorithmic optimization, where we're going to optimize for all algorithms across platforms. But this is, you definitely.
Remembering though, a lot of these platforms designed themselves. So the foundation is what Google was up until now, and what Google still will be.
Oh, I don't
All
mean
that
search.
technical stuff, all the SEO-y stuff, is still critically important
Oh,
to
yes, sorry.
being seen by Google. So that's the foundation for all the other platforms right now, because Google set the standard for the last 20 years. So we're starting from an amazing, advantageous place.
Definitely. And yes, it's really important to say that SEO is at the bottom layer of all AI products in Google. So Google has SEO and then like basically search, and then they add to that the AI layer. So AI overviews are just a layer. AI mode is a separate kind of thing unto itself, but it still bases itself. And they are adding core ranking signals to both products. So it will be amazingly based on how well your SEO value is doing in Google. And people I saw yesterday are like, well, no other LLMs use Google. Yeah, most of them do. They may use other things like Bing or their own search engine, or Perplexity actually takes ranked Google search results for its citations, right? So Google is at the base of all the LLMs. If you want to do well in LLMs, you also want to follow Google's protocols because they are setting the standard for that. And so you definitely don't want to falter on your SEO. In fact, it's more important than ever. to have a strong quality site that is meeting the SEO pro and LLM protocols. So real quick, we need to go over some of the stuff because we are going to need to move on. Gemini 3.5 Flash is now behind Google Search. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago about how it's going to be super quick and in the moment. And if you're using Flash, though, their pricing has gone up significantly for their tokens. So you like very, very like output token at some level is $9. So you want to make sure you're checking that if you're using these things. In fact, across the board, we know token pricing is going way up. If you're using this, make sure that you're not going to get surprised with a massive bill. Google announced information agents with Google Search. Basically, this is what Jim's been talking about. They're going to have agents operating in the background 24/7 that'll continue to look for information to help you in your ongoing tasks and projects. Be very, 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 very careful about letting it run in the background 24/7 or having it, other things open when they're running, because agents are inherently insecure and nobody knows right now how to secure them. We don't know if it's going to become an attack surface, but because we don't
know.
Oh,
yes, we do.
Yeah, I know. But
100% it will.
It's like,
how
well, it's
it will
one
is what we don't know.
Yeah, what people don't understand is I see a lot of people are running all this stuff in the background with agents, and they're like, oh, it's fine. I haven't had a problem. You're right. You haven't had a problem because the hackers right now are doing what they always do. They're attacking the big boys.
Well, yeah,
you know?
You're boring.
Yeah, they haven't figured out a way to scale you yet. So I can't wait for DEF CON this year. But once they learn how to scale the attack on agents and browsers on people's computers, guaranteed it's
the
going to
moment,
happen.
Oh, Christine, the moment we used Walmart as an example. I don't want to single out Walmart.
No,
apologize
just,
for every for
they were
whoever's
the
gonna
test
get kicked
project.
off Disney this week. But like, imagine if you were able to like harness the information that agents, individual users, agents who interact with the Walmart system have on the individual. If you were able to do that, you would have what, like a third of all Americans' information, like instantly at the speed of light, or at least, you know, theoretically, and be able to start, you know, picking them off. Within several days, you'd, you know, be several $1 trillion richer, or, you know. Actually, well, it is.
And I read a thing yesterday, and I can't get all into it now because I still have to read it a couple more times to fully understand it. But we've talked about it before. This isn't like any other kind of vulnerability you've had on your computer or a browser or a website. Those are code-based. These are math-based. And as the vulnerabilities, and as they compress inside the algorithms for like ChatGPT or Google or whatever it happens to be, it leaves openings in, I know I'm not explaining this well, but in the math. The math has places where it can be exploited. So it's not the same as like, oh, they just didn't do this piece of code and we need to add that and patch that. Like we forgot this section needed, you know, passwords. This is like they literally can go to the foundation of your house, find the crack and come in. And there's nothing right now in cybersecurity that I've seen, and I follow this every day, that shows that they have a way to defend against this. So I find actually Google doing this incredibly irresponsible. Because this is going to run at some level in your browser, on your computer, on your machine. And if you have your bank accounts open, and by the way, real quick, I just have to throw this out there. OpenAI says you can connect your bank account to their product. Do not do this. Okay, we can move on. Like, do not ever connect your bank account to a GPT, ever.
So
but,
you're saying Google's being really irresponsible doing this, and perhaps that they are because they're the ones who are doing the out of the box technology that anyone can use. But I'm going to suggest that OpenAI, not OpenAI, sorry, Anthropic did this several weeks ago with the introduction of Mythos and actually, you know, telling people how they made Mythos work. Because the moment, it's like, oh, you bundle them all together and get them all to work in concert. Wow. Well, I mean, like, now you have X number of agents all bundled together, going off and doing micro jobs for the consumer off of their computer. The amount of communication that's going to be happening, electronic communications that are going to be happening, the levels of vulnerabilities are exponential.
Yes, and let's just add to that that the agents don't actually have to be hacked to do damage. They often go rogue. They often do their own thing. And an article we're not covering today because I couldn't copy it. It was like on futurism and I couldn't actually copy the text. There's something going on with their site. That they now found that the agents can replicate whatever they're doing to another agent without anybody knowing it's happening. So I've been running experiments. The point is, agents are not secure in many ways, not just being hacked, but also going rogue. And we have plenty of stories on this show that you go back through the last like year of us covering those instances. We couldn't even name them all right now, but it's a common thing and it's not an uncommon thing. And so you want to be very careful about using this kind of tech on anything but a sandbox computer that's only open to like Google.
Yeah.
Agent booking updates are going to have agentic booking capabilities that will now work with your home repair, beauty, pet care. You can have it call the business on your behalf. I'm not sure that my hairstylist would be very happy with me if I started using a bot to call them. And I'm not sure companies are going to be very happy with that either, but we'll see unless they have a bot that answers back. I wouldn't do that, but people can do that. It's their own deal. Agentic coding in Google search. So Google is adding Google Anti-Gravity and the agentic coding features of Gemini 3.0 Flash. We're going to remind people again, don't code things for anybody else if you don't know how to code because you're legally responsible for anything that happens. Supposedly, this is mostly just going to happen in the browser where you can code things in the browser for your own experience, therefore making anything called rankings even more like more nefarious, like more amorphous.
SEOs, if you are going to use these technologies on client websites, if you're going to be doing this on the fly, you need to get business insurance. You 1000% need to go out and get yourself a
Yeah.
minimum $2 million third party, and $2 million liability. You need to do that immediately.
And people need to be careful because the GPT companies, because they have no regulations, make these all look so simple and easy, and everything's easy to do. And now you can be a coder, and now you can do this, and you can do that. But they code in vulnerabilities. And if you don't know what you're doing, you could accidentally expose your own computer to issues. So they're not that simple. It took someone 20 years to learn how to code properly because it took 20 years to learn how to code properly. An agent is not a good coder. They're a decent coder because they trained on so much code, but they also can code in a lot of vulnerabilities. This has been researched heavily. This isn't me just saying it. So just be very careful of all this because you're not a coder now. If you've never coded before, be very careful about it. Coding things in your browser.
Last week, we reported that use of AI was literally driving software engineers mad. And it wasn't because the AI was so much better than them, or they were jealous or were scared of their futures or neurotic or anything. It's because for the compact code that they used to make, say 115 lines to efficiently get something done, Claude or ChatGPT, they don't care. They can go through code. They can read it at light speed. They don't care if it's 950, 3,000 lines. It doesn't matter to them.
That's
And so
true.
they're writing this bulky, like completely spaghetti ass code that is like a magnitude bigger than what people have been taught to write so that you can efficiently get stuff done and read it. And the software engineers have to debug this code. And that's what's driving them crazy.
Yeah, definitely. And the debugging is so difficult for a lot of them because they don't know what it wrote. Why it wrote it. So then a lot of times they have to scrap the code and start from scratch. We've done some stories on that.
Because it's writing every possible way to do the thing.
Yeah, and actually a lot of coders that they interviewed in a 404 media story were saying they're kind of burnt out on having to use, because they're being forced to use it, AI code because they don't want to use it anymore, except when they want to use it for like tedious tasks, because they find it just causes more problems than it's worth, and they would like to just go back to coding, which is what they're good at and what they love, and that kind of thing. So next we have personalized intelligence has been amped up and released globally, and I don't think you have to be a paid user anymore. It's going to get you tailored recommendations, troubleshoot without headaches, navigate tight schedules with ease. That's what they're saying in their promo piece. Discover new hobbies. I don't have
I'm doing my
personal.
little I'm right, I was right dance. I don't, nobody else can see this except Christine, because remember what I was saying before the show? This is exactly what I was saying. They're inserting themselves between you and everything.
Yeah,
That's the whole point to this.
I am curious because no one ever addresses it. I have personalization turned off. Does that mean I don't get personal intelligence? So I'd be very happy not to get personal intelligence. So I don't know. Bing is going to become probably my new go-to until they copy Google.
If you want, I'm positive this is the way it's going to work out. If you want to work with anything 5 to 10 years from now, you will need to do it electronically through systems like Google or the various clones that are bound to spring up, giving us like four or five extraordinarily similar options. This is the
We'll
future,
see.
kids.
We'll see. I'm not. I'm
Yeah.
not. You're not wrong if everything goes the way they hope. Well, there's a lot of forces outside Google that are
Well,
mounting against this expansion, and including just things like data centers.
and by the way, in our careers, Google has remade the face of social media 3 times. So, we'll see
Social
what
media.
happens. But has no, no, and then here's the funny thing: you don't even remember them doing it, even though you wrote extensive articles on. Well, what
What?
was the last one? Google's identity engine. What the hell was that called?
Oh no, I know that Google Plus. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was a
I mean, like.
total identity product that
That
they
was a real
scrapped.
place.
Yeah, it was a real thing until
It was
Snowden came
archived.
out. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Universal Cart is also part of this rollout. You can add products across multiple retailers. It's the UCP. To single cart and check out with one payment in a cart from retailers. I don't want to check out on Google. I'll be honest, I don't. I want to go to the
100%
websites.
get down with this if you're on an e-com site.
Yeah,
People are
you need
going
to
to be
have
using
it.
it. And more importantly, electronic agents are going to be using it.
So the moment you add the product to your cart, it gets to work in the background, finding deals and price drops, giving you insights on price history, and alerting you when the item is back in stock. It all runs on our Gemini models. We'll see if this stuff really works this way, because often Google's like writes all, and I swear they write all this stuff with GPT. It's always so peppy, happy. It has the rhythm of GPT.
I hope they're writing it with Gemini. I mean, they shouldn't give themselves that much credit,
Well,
right?
I just mean AGPT, but yes, probably Gemini. So you can use Google Pay or transfer your items to the merchant site to complete your purchase. That I might use transferring the items to the merchant site because I don't have any desire to shop on Google. They have screenshots in the article at SEO Roundtable from Barry Schwartz, and it's going to expand this to Canada and Australia in the coming months, later the UK. It's coming to YouTube and even more verticals with hotel booking and local food delivery. Google created the agent's payment protocol to help agents make secure payments. APT lets you set strict guardrails for agentic payment transactions. Again, can't be completely secured. Google said under the hood, APT creates a transparent, verifiable link between you and the merchant and the payment processor and uses privacy technology to keep your data safe. Again, not regular vulnerabilities. So it's an agent, which means it has an agent endpoint, which can be accessed. We'll see. We'll know in 6 months
Although we can
after.
almost guarantee that the major banks, I can't speak for the American banks, the Canadian banks are going to take this pretty seriously.
Yeah.
They will
But Re
probably not guarantee your deposits, but they will take their security fairly seriously.
but remember, one of our stories was a white hat hacker who got into McKinsey, the big old consulting behemoth, and was able to access every single thing inside of McKinsey chats, emails,
Oh,
business intelligence from one agent
Oh,
endpoint.
again, Christine, this is what I was
Yeah.
speaking to like before when I said, what if a hacker somehow gets into the knowledge base that Walmart's about to acquire on people and their agents?
Yes. And we
Imagine how
know
fast they can get every a backdoor to every bank account in America,
I
or
can't
at
tell
least a
you
third
how
of them.
I've never been so excited for a DEF CON before because I go to DEF CON every year, so I will learn all this stuff and report back on it.
Just don't drink before you go.
Oh, you drink while you're
You may want
there.
to drink after.
Just don't bring a phone that can connect to the internet. Another thing they added to this, we've gotten through all the features. Google adds an LLM's text check to Chrome Lighthouse. First, we have to specify LLM's text is not used for website, it's for agents. Crystal
It's
Carter
for.
has written several blog posts on this. We're going to have her on the show for this. I still think she's still at Wix. And that is also one of our sponsors. We forgot to talk about that. I'll do that at the end. So Google Lighthouse, the thing that checks your page speed and those things. Agentic browsing audits now check for the presence of an LLM's text file. You do not have to have one on your website, though it would be good to start looking at your agentic layer and having those things for the agents, but I wouldn't worry about it today. If you're a small site, you definitely don't need it. That's from Google. So basically, they're going to check like certain integrations, and this is definitely for your developers. to look at, because like it looks at token efficient content, markdown delivery, LLMs, text discovery layers, things that you might know, but you're going to need a developer to help you with some of this.
Here's Google's great nightmare, okay? All of these like googly agents under other people's control, constantly pinging, crawling, these massive e-com sites, okay? The crawl button, just the expense is insane. It's going to
Yeah.
cost Google so much money to facilitate this. So what Google wants with the LLM text is a signal for these crawlers that they can sort of get a sense. This has zero to do with ranking. It's got nothing, absolutely nothing to do with ranking. It
Nothing to
has
do with
everything to
organic
do with
search.
training, nothing to do with ranking whatsoever.
You have a new layer on your site. It's called the agentic layer. Google has put out a document on this. It basically encapsulates your technical components, your rendered page, and having an accessibility tree. This is the one thing I am really happy about that Google has done. You have to have accessibility trees for agentic browsing and or agentic, tech monetizing crawlers, parsers. So many people do not do accessibility. Still, like 60% of the sites out there are not accessible. I'm hoping for like some new business since I have like 20 years accessibility training. But you have to have certain accessibility layers. So the Google Lighthouse will tell you if you're missing the accessibility layers. Also, your CLP, I've seen these so long, I forget what they are. Content shifting, CLS, content shift, content layout shift is big in this
Cumulative
because
layout
the,
shift, by the way. Sorry, cumulative.
thank you, sorry, I'm tired today. Yes, I look at this every day and for some reason forgot the word. Cumulative layout shift is huge for agents because they do not want, the agent will not find it when it moves around the page, right? The code moves it around, the page is moved around. So that's something they also report on. So I would make sure that it's there. I'd also make sure to read Google's agentic guidelines. I think we cover this real quickly later. But yes, this new part of Lighthouse, you want to check it. And then go to Google to get your advice. Google has put out documents. I see a lot of controversy online today, yesterday and today. Oh, Google's lying to us. Google's not telling us the truth. It's like, no, they are telling you the
No,
truth.
they're just
Yeah.
telling you their truth.
Yeah.
They're
Well, but
lying.
it is, but people are like, but it's only for Google. And it's like, no, this is how most of the agents work. So,
They're not lying. They're just sort of flopping about.
yeah, the technical documents generally don't lie too much. They do lie about other stuff like link building, but they don't tend to lie about the
No, again,
technical.
they're not lying. But they're telling you the truth through Google's lens. And no one's lying. Like, no one ever said you needed LLM text to rank. As a matter of fact, people have said exactly the opposite.
Well, yeah, you don't need LLM text strength. It's only for your agents. But you do
But
need like it. Yeah, oh, go ahead.
you do need to make Google happy if you want Google to be happy with you. That's always been a rule of thumb in like
Yeah,
SEO.
that's
You want Google to
true.
be happy with you? Make them happy.
Yeah, that's very true. So anyways, I think we've pretty much covered what came out of I/O. I will say my piece and you say your piece or vice versa. But my piece is you need to remember that Google is not the only search engine in the world. There was a time when SEOs had to do 10 or more search engines and all had different algorithms. So AI is a new layer. It's a new set of algorithms. Also, SEO is how you get there. You just tweak it differently. But you are going to have to add agentic layers to your website. Wix is already doing it automatically for you. So if you have a Wix site, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're using WordPress or anything, or you're building your own sites, you're going to have to worry about this agentic layer. You're as a strategist, you become a digital strategist. You're going to have to find where your clients can pick up traffic because Google is not going to be the dominant traffic provider if this works out and it works like it looks like in the videos. We'll see if it's the same when it rolls out. So you're going to have to help people find traffic because, again, our site that Jim and I are working on is not being shown in the AI overviews for its information, but only as a recommendation, and it'll still get 45,000 impressions and 50 clicks.
By the way, I am rewriting all of this content. Give it a few
Okay.
weeks. Let's see. I'd be disappointed if it didn't come up.
Well, yeah. But it comes up a lot too, so it's just good. We did a lot of good work. But I'm just telling people, you're going to have to become a digital strategist. Think where your clients can get their traffic from. Don't rely on Google solely. And make sure you follow Google's recommendations on the technical components on the agentic level. and on how to work with AI. So.
Okay, everything Christine said, number one. So when I started the show, I said this was a week the universe changed. Yesterday was a day the universe changed. And for SEOs, I think people who've been building websites for the last 20, 25 years, absolutely, this is it. We've said the change was coming for the longest time. Now it's here. So what happens next? I see two realms of opportunity, one of them within the Googleverse and another one outside of the Googleverse. For SEOs, if you can help Google sell product, you can help your clients sell product. If you can make your clients' pages as Google friendly as possible, as compliant as possible with Google's new agentic visions, you are probably going to have an extremely prosperous future. I don't think every user on the internet is going to want to go that direction, and I think this leaves a big, big, big swath of. Incidentally, if Google is taking all the clicks away, they are basically facilitating the dead web theory. The no new information. Why would people build new information if there's no benefit to it, no clicks from it? So I don't think that's entirely going to happen. I think people want to keep building that information, and I think other people are going to move into other platforms are going to move into a massive vacuum Google's leaving. So
Yeah.
the cool thing about the beginning of our careers was the internet, the web was the Wild West. Google made it into a settled city. But they're stepping away from that now, and they're changing the way they're doing it. The web will still be there. I'm positive someone's going to step into the space that Google's leaving open, and there'll be opportunity for SEOs there as well. And as Christine and I both said earlier, it's where your users are going to be. It's about visibility and getting traffic for your clients. Traffic comes in a bunch of different ways, including simply selling product. So there's a lot of opportunity. This is
Yeah.
terrifying. Change is always terrifying. But it's not petrifying. So go forward, be careful, and most of all, have fun.
And that's a two little additions. Google lost 5% of its traffic last year, not to LLMs, but to Bing. So people didn't leave Google to go to LLMs, they left to go to Bing. And in addition, my family had a country store for 25 years, right? And we did radio and we did local newspapers and then we evolved and we had to do digital. We're right on the cusp of digital. Google is a source of traffic. Google is not the end all be all. So what you have to do is start looking for other sources of traffic for your site, store, firm, whatever it happens to be, because Google has decided not to be a source of traffic. Because they could design the UI in a way where most of the traffic would be retained, but they haven't. So you have to start saying that. Also, don't pull your ads completely away from Google. You're still going to get traffic through there. But it is time to maybe retake 20% of your ad spend and start putting it in other places, whether it's organic on other channels or paid on other channels. It's time to do that because Google has told us they don't care about the click. Publishers have been going after Google for 2 years about taking the clicks, and they're doing it intentionally in the design that they have created. So yeah, so it's time to maybe start looking for other venues, and you'll find there are other venues that can help you really replace the traffic that you're losing. It just may take a little while to build that audience. Also, email has always been the best converter, and that's never changed in 20 years of doing this. So building up your email list and community is super helpful.
You know, and nobody's actually said this. This is my last point I'm going to make, I think. No one's actually said this, but the web's kind of gotten boring. Maybe this will change that.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Like, there's
true.
been nothing new or interesting or innovative on the web, and every new innovative, interesting thing people have tried has somehow been smooshed downwards. Like, I actually think that the metaverse might have been interesting had it not been so douchey.
Exactly. And run by somebody so douchey.
And one of the problems with introducing miracle change, and I believe that LLMs are a miracle product tool that we abused badly and turned into mush. But it was a was six like breakthrough in understanding how humans might think. Not that it's human thinking, it's not. It's a simulation. It's only a simulation. But it was introduced so badly. In fact, we've been now told that we are going to have our futures and our jobs and our stores, everything is just going to get destroyed by AI, our hopes and dreams and chances of good education and everything. And now, as it turns out, if you try to celebrate AI to young people who should be celebrating the chance their graduations, moving on into the world. You mentioned AI at one of at a US college graduation ceremony. You are likely to get kneed in the groin as students come by and grab their diplomas off you. Don't mention AI, it's not safe. I think the most recently, Eric Schmidt, former Google CEO, was booed a bunch of times at the University of Arizona as he did their commencement speech on Friday, whilst telling the kids how screwed they were.
It's like they go to these places like they don't know how to read a room because it's like everyone. And by the way, the people who really do AI, like people like Gary Marcus, who really know how all this works and started this industry, aren't telling you that you're going to lose your jobs in 18 months. But all the people that run the AI love to tell you how you're not going to have your job anymore and how they're going to build these big data centers and destroy the environment. And you should just love it because AI is so magical. And the kids aren't buying it. Like they're not happy. And would you be happy to remember coming out of like college and they were someone, all the tech companies were telling you have no ability to work, buy a house, get food. There'll be UBI in a country that doesn't even pay for health insurance. Like they're not, they are a very clear generation. They understand how these things work. It's not like because they've grown up in it. They know it, they understand it, and they are the generation that's starting to see through the smoke screens. So, surveys of Gen Z is they're not happy with where tech is going in general.
Humans are interesting creatures. They tend to do what is best for them. The technologarchs have set up a have in the last 25 years radically altered a system that was basically set up by human behavior over the last 100 or so years. So we'll see if the people find this beneficial, they'll adopt it. If they don't find it beneficial, they'll rebel against it. Honestly, I have no idea how this turns out, but the way it's been
Oh my
marketed to
God.
them almost guarantees failure.
Yes. Also, by the way, it is funny. A lot of the big names got booed because they talked about the positives of AI. Wozniak, I cannot say his name today. I say Wozniak. That's not
Oh, Steve
Wozniak.
Wozniak.
Yeah, thank you, Wozniak.
He's the co-founder of Apple, the guy who actually
Yes.
made the thing.
He read the room. He gave a graduation speech. He started with the word AI and everything got very, very, very quiet. And then he said, yes, that's you. You have actual intelligence. And then he got huge applause. So if you want to see a speech where they didn't get food, that would be the one. So the other ones did not read the room.
Well, again, I hope that Gen Z learns to use AI much more responsibly than the Gen Xers and millennials who gave it to them.
Oh. I didn't give them AI. It happened 3 years ago. Anyway, can we move on to the next story?
Well, what I was going to say is, I really, really, really want Secrets of the Universe solved. I want big numbers crunched.
Yes, I want real
I want
AI.
impossible math formulas to be solved. And in fact, an impossible math formula was recently solved by ChatGPT of all devices.
Oh yeah, I didn't get into that today though, because we have so much other stuff to
But there
cover.
are so much that LLMs can do competently and brilliantly beyond the jobs of human labor. It's
And
mind-blowing how badly we borked this up.
We always need to clarify, LLMs are not AI. They're machine learning. They're pattern predictors and pattern
No, but they are what
recognizers.
we are using
Right,
as
no, I
artificial
know.
intelligence
But
now.
I'm saying AI, like real AI that they use in like scientific discovery and medicine, that stuff has solved like cancer, and now they have an Alzheimer's cure. Right? So there is a very big difference between real AI and machine learning. That's all I'm saying. By the way, we did not cover this story during its existence, and maybe at some point we'll do it. It was just like two guys in college fighting over a beer, but it's Elon Musk and Sam Altman fighting over OpenAI. So the end result, after all the stuff that came out and all their text messages, and everyone should read it if they want a good soap opera, because that's pretty much what it was. That Elon Musk claims against OpenAI were dismissed because he filed the lawsuit too late. I'm not sure why they went through everything they went through in the courtroom and discovery and the text messages and all the things that came out between them, if they were just going to dismiss it based on date, but that's what happened.
They went, how to say this? I think they went through it because the case, in fact, had merit. They also
And it was
went
a
through it
jury
because
decision.
Elon Musk is the wealthiest person on Earth who's capable of purchasing the government of the largest nation on the Earth. So if he wants something to go through court, it's going to go through court. Because that's just, the way it is.
The jury found it too. The jury found it was too late. So maybe there was some discrepancy on whether it was too late or not. So.
So basically, this was Elon Musk saying that the way Sam Altman had run OpenAI was bogus because he started off all altruistic as a nonprofit to benefit society and has turned it into a quote unquote for profit. With OpenAI, you kind of got to do the quotes there, quote unquote for profits company. That is ostensibly there still to benefit mankind, but also to benefit the shareholders.
Well, and also the rumor is,
As
although we read a story last week that they're supposed to be putting out their IPO, they might be secretly filing for their IPO tomorrow.
yeah,
And that,
WSJ is like saying they're speed running this thing now.
yeah, because, well, OpenAI will not survive without the IPO because no one's funding them after this. Like
But the moment they
that's
lift
known.
the moment they lift the hood of their car to show us the engine,
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah, we found that out with SpaceX yesterday. It's actually $13 billion in debt, so it shouldn't be allowed to go IPO, but it's going to be anyway. But that's a side story. But I just let people know that. So OpenAI needs that money to continue because no one will continue to invest in it at this point, according to all the analysts. That's not my assessment; that's theirs. So
okay.
anyway, I don't know a good
Bad.
segue. You might have a good segue to this next one, but
I got no segue. This is a sad story. Segues are
it's
funny. This ain't
horrible.
funny. It makes me mad. So the most extraordinary people were hired by this extraordinary company, Meta. They hired them a couple of years ago, telling them, "We're getting you because you're really good at what you do, specifically because of this." And they used them to train the AIs that were going to replace them. And Mark Zuckerberg, in a AI driven call to them, and honest to God, he had his AI avatar. He used his AI avatar during the call, to his workers, cut like
8,000.
8,000 of them, and also reassigned another 7,000 to work strictly on AI.
Yeah, and he also did it with an email at 4 a.m. So they
It
didn't
just.
like, yeah, it was done. It was just done cruelly. And there was something else that happened, but unfortunately, the article we have doesn't mention the something else. I can't remember what it was. But this is from Social Media Today. So yeah, he basically just, and they're not doing it because the AI is ready to take over their jobs, although it might be. They're just doing it to pay for the AI. Most job layoffs related to AI are not because the AI is competent enough to take over their jobs. It's because their company wants to invest in AI to take over the jobs, but they don't even know that the AI can do that at this point, and that's why he's cutting these jobs again. So, and AWS did it with
What?
33,000. Yeah, AWS did it with 33,000 people. Yeah, a lot of these are just cuts to pay for the AI they think can take over the jobs, but they don't know it can take over the jobs. So they actually usually wind up hiring a lot of workers back because the AI doesn't do the job. So,
You
but in
were
this case,
extraordinary. We hired you because you were extraordinary. Thanks for being extraordinary. The training, it was extraordinary. You're fired.
Yeah, pretty much. And one guy I saw on LinkedIn last night wrote an open message to the workers and said, you don't owe them anything, so don't bother with your. I was so glad to work for Facebook and Meta for X. I was like, you kind of got a point. Like they
Oh, and
literally just.
if it's not nailed down, we don't recommend you take it, but other people might.
the stapler. Always get the stapler. Just kidding. That's the office. Yeah, that's a movie. People might not
Okay,
remember.
so I used to work for a company that had a division that was simply a repository of people's writing. This was the SitePro News Empire years and years and years and years ago, Jade Online. And a company just like Jade Online, Arvix. It's an open access repository of reprint academic research. So what it does is that if you're an academic researcher, you throw yourself into this repository, and journalistic magazines can grab from it and print in their magazines. You're basically providing a magazine with copy. If you're caught submitting AI-generated work, they will ban you for a year.
Yeah, and they had no joke. There was somebody who was arguing with them about that because they didn't know something was AI driven. And they're like, sorry, there is no, what do
What
they,
do you mean they didn't know?
one, well,
You
something in
researched
there.
it or you didn't research. You wrote it or you didn't write it.
Well, apparently there's a citation in there that was false and they didn't catch it because they used it for the research. The breadcrumbs are okay, but there is no, it's one mistake, you're out for a year. There's no, they're not going to go back on that. There is no wiggle room. And this is one
Good.
of the biggest journals.
Good.
Yeah, this is the one everyone quotes in the AI industry. So this is a huge deal if you get banned. So if you're, how do you say that again? Arcs of the, you never know. I never just look at
Arvix.
the, it has an X in the middle.
Arik, Arik, Arif, Arif,
RXV? It's
Arif,
ARXIV.
Arif,
I'm sure
Arif,
people know how to say it, but
Arxiv, Arif.
I've only ever seen it like po like in print, so I've never heard it said. But anyways, yes, they're getting inundated with generated materials, so they're not going to allow that anymore. And if you are submitting to them, you want to make super careful that you do not make a mistake. Also, you have to know somebody to recommend you to write an article. I was at DEF CON a few years back, and there was this whole session on how there was a $6 billion fake media academic research industry,
Oh,
and
for
they were getting
sure.
themselves published in these kind of journals under the non-peer-reviewed section. So now you actually have to know somebody that says you are who you are and good, which is really a great way to do it, to even get to be able to submit to their journal.
Good.
So,
This is,
yeah.
I mean, we a lot of people used to, a lot of SEOs used to treat the world's information systems as a lark because we were able to lark our way through them. But that was a mistake. This is important, especially as AI is hoovering up information and regenerating it to match the question asked more than necessarily the fact presented.
And by the way, this is 404 Media. I always like to make sure we
No,
tell
mention
people
our
where we got our
sources. Yeah.
information. Yeah, get them from.
Okay, well, here's one. Billboard magazine is reporting that a new federal music law will let
Love
indie
it.
artists team up against AI and streaming to level the playing field. The Protect Working Musicians Act will give small musicians the ability to collectively negotiate with tech giants to win better pay, and B, force the tech giants to label AI music as AI music.
Yes, and the reason they couldn't do this before is there was antitrust law for large like music corporations, and it was affecting the small independent musicians. So now that will be removed. They will not be subject to the antitrust law if they're of like independent or of a certain size. So I think this is really positive. I'm glad to see it.
I am 100% for collective bargaining in any instance.
Yeah.
If a collective of small producers can team up to protect their interests against the large distributor, I'm all for it.
Yep, same here. And I'm glad it's going to be labeled as AI because I got suckered into something that I really thought was a good song, and then I realized looking at the video closely, when not on my phone, that it was AI generated. So I was very upset that
Well,
I
I mean,
got
here's the thing.
suckered.
It's just music. It's just math. And it's just audio math.
But they.
You could, AI could write a great song. It's just disappointing. It's not human, you know?
Yeah, and also that they trained on somebody else's work to do that. So,
Well, yeah, lots
but
of
talking talk about AI
this.
generated.
Speaking of, so Graphite, a company that analyzed 55,000 web pages from Common Crawl, discovered that half of them were written by AI.
This is crazy to me because, like, as Google is taking the click away from websites, thus probably reducing the amount of actual original content websites, that the GPTs can't ingest this type of content, or it collapses the models over time, and they put out junk, like real junk content. So, so it's kind of.
People are talking about their models getting dumber and dumber and dumber.
I do think Google has a one of the best indicators of like best ways to indicate if something is AI content, apparently, like in one of their research labs. So Google keeps working up now with commodity and non-commodity manual actions for spam for AI content. I have a feeling at some point Google is going to do a massive update and it's going to be directed at the AI content. I could be wrong, but they just have to have a way to like identify it away from other content. But if 55,000 pages, like half of them are all AI driven, and it all happened after ChatGPT launched, so this isn't like prior. There were things that wrote AI content before ChatGPT, like Jasper. It's just, did you
Okay,
see
but
the?
Jasper, okay, it for Jasper wrote shitty, crappy content.
Oh yeah, of course, it was shitty.
Jasper wrote meta descriptions.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was all when ChatGPT launched. So anyways, it's common across the web. I will tell you, and this is why Jim is working with me, I always use human writers. And given that if you're still going to try to get content in a search engine, can be Bing too, you don't want to be using AI for any of the actual writing portion that you publish online, because you have to add things that are unique, and they know when it's not unique because they can compare documents against documents. And unique can just mean a turn of a phrase. The way Jim says something is not the same as every other pattern that exists. Like when AI writes something, it's using the most probabilistic pattern, and it always uses the most probabilistic pattern. So if 10 people in totally independent areas write the same article, it's going to be very similar. It's going to have similar patterns. So the AI can detect that there's AI out there. So when Google's rewarding content, especially as we move forward, it's going to have to be content that is human written. You cannot rely on AI if you want that to surface. Also, it converts better. We know from ad testing that AI ads convert at a lower rate. So, just my little two cents.
Okay, so moving forward, we still have a number of stories to get through. So moving forward, it looks like how people are going to choose to use AI is starting to settle out as home consumers are finding how when I say AI, I mean chat, how the more chat tools, but as home consumers are finding the limitations of what it can do for them, and business users are experimenting with what it can do for them. So according to research done by Rand Fishkin at SparkToro and Datos, there's been little to no growth, in fact, negative growth, at OpenAI and ChatGPT. Since September 2005, from consumers, US desktop users visiting or using ChatGPT has fallen by 1% in the last 6 months.
Yeah, I think I reported on it the start of that fall, about 6 months ago, actually, where people that were new to it were using it frequently, but people that had been using it for a while were using it far less and only for specific things.
But
Remember that
meanwhile,
article?
Yep, I absolutely remember. But meanwhile, over on the business side of the ledger, there's been a 373% increase in usage of Claude, especially among B2B professionals, versus the use of the average US population.
But there's a big caveat to that story. Huge caveat. The companies are making people use the AI. They're even judging them on how much compute they use.
Well, that's because companies want their people to use AI.
Right. So I'm saying that people aren't deciding to use it. Most people don't like to have to use it except for certain tasks.
Well,
So it's a forced condition that could easily go away.
we well again, we will see how things work out. I'm pretty sure that businesses will continue to use AI long into the future, but the way they use it is going to change and over time become far more efficient than it is right now, as they're just trying to figure out exactly what this damn thing does. But it will, because if it doesn't, then they're not business. Business always moves towards more efficient, or it goes out of business.
Sometimes, not always. Some people do well for not being efficient, but that's a different story. Like a good clockmaker.
Okay, so if you're getting tired of having to find new way of having to adapt to new ways to log into your computer every morning, just don't shut it off. Microsoft is they ditched Strong Password for SMS two-factor authentication. They are now ditching two-factor authentication for passkeys to get into your personal accounts.
Yeah, I'm seeing these all over the place all of a sudden. They would do a passkey, do a passkey. The reason is, and I did not know this, that 2FA has become insecure because hackers are using SIM cards to simulate accounts and then they're breaking into people's accounts that way. So they're getting rid of 2FA. So that's quite interesting. And I guess that's why I'm now seeing everywhere that the login with a passkey. So.
So, friends, you're going to adapt to a new way of logging in.
Again,
Passkeys.
yes, happened again.
DoD has saved TikTok about $600 million back in 2024. TikTok was forced to pay was ready to pay about $1 billion in settlements over kids' privacy breaches, but they recently agreed to a settlement with the Trump administration's DOJ DO with the Trump administration's DOJ for about 400 million.
Yeah, Trump administration has always been very friendly to TikTok.
Now,
So,
here's the suit that got them in trouble was because TikTok was breaching young people's privacy. The terms of the agreement with the Trump administration is that the money is going to be earmarked for beautification projects in DC rather than compensating the underage victims of data privacy violations, which is really pissing off Fair Play for Kids, the online safety advocation that brought the settlement in the first place, calling it a slap on the wrist that will not meaningfully change TikTok's exploitation and harm to children. And maybe get a crappy looking golden arch built in front of the Jefferson Memorial.
oh, I was thinking blue swimming pool reflecting pond.
No, that's been paid for by Medicaid, I think.
Oh, maybe. I know the funding was cut off for it with Congress.
Well, just California's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, moving on.
By the way, we're trying to be sarcastic. We kind of love the state of California, except for that tiny part where the technoligarchs live. That part can crash into the ocean for what we care.
Pretty much.
Okay, this is the one about X
Next week.
imposing new posting restrictions on non-paying users. What?
Yeah, you used to be able to post up to like 2,400 times a day if you're non-paying, and now it's 200, I think. I'll have to look in the article here. So basically, It's attempt to reduce bots, except most of the bots have a paid account, you know, because they're run by big organizations, nation states, things like that. So I don't know that it's going to do a whole lot for that. But if you're spamming Twitter, Twixter, you're not going to be able to do it without a paid account. With a paid account, you can still spam all you want. I don't know what it'll do. Also, he's trying to get more competitive with that and controlling the bots because it's been such a problem on Twixter and why so many people have left, but because their usages are declining. So.
Well, it's amazing how copious amounts of free speech is expensive. Or, I'm
Exactly.
sorry, it's amazing how expensive copious amounts of free speech can be.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so X is launching a display of active followers to contextualize performance data. Trying what was this trying to say, hey, Henry's doing good, why aren't you?
Well, it's also so you can look and see what's happening. I mean, I guess it's useful if you're using Twixter for community building or something of that nature. I don't think I'll have much use for it. I'm still on there for reasons.
So this will give people a full count of active followers, percentage, well, as a percentage figure based on a user's total following. So to give you an idea of like engagement, are people interested in this user or not? Again, this sounds like a competitive tool.
Well, they get a lot of accusations of suppression, which does actually happen because I've seen it on my account. Like suddenly I'm down to maybe 1,000 viewers or impressions, and suddenly I'm at 300,000, right? Since it takes it on and off. So I think that's their way to say, "Hey
Ooh.
guys, look at this. We're not actually suppressing you. You're just not good."
Interesting piece of information. OpenAI and ChatGPT keeps a cache of the web, a locally stored version of web pages that have previously been crawled. How do we access this?
Right? It's so they can pull it up and don't have to recrawl it later, which makes sense because that saves them a lot of resources.
So where are they
So
storing this? Is this like on my machine or is this on one of their servers somewhere out in the
I don't
cloud?
know. I have a feeling that we will know by the end of the week because we have some very intelligent people in our industry that like to look at things like that.
Oh, well, I mean, like Google's cut off our access to their cache of the web. I
Yes.
would love to see. I mean, when did ChatGPT last crawl a page? That's important information.
Exactly. But again, we don't know yet, but we'll find out, I'm sure. We have
Very
inventive people in
cool.
our industry that do that kind of thing.
Okay, so about an hour and a half ago, I got an email that said my website had auto-updated to WordPress 7.0.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
So sometimes a WordPress rollout is a scary thing. Because a lot of times it doesn't roll out well. I always wait like 6 months, but apparently Roger Monti wrote this story and he follows all this very well. So that it's actually a really good update and people will be happy with it. So it's redoing the admin section. It's making it much more slick and SaaS-like. And there's changes to they were going to do a collaboration section, but they're not actually adding it at this point. There's some AI functions that they've added to it. I'm not sure what else because I don't have the article in front of me. So, but
Well,
it's
they've
a
refreshed the color
positive.
palette. There's updated typography, so there's a whole bunch of new fonts to use. Multi-site sign-up screens. I'm not sure what good that is, but I'm sure it's wonderful. I
Oh,
can't.
that's
I'm
something.
actually looking forward to working with it. I haven't
Yeah.
logged into my website for a couple of days, but
And I'm sure
interested.
mine's, yeah, will be updated automatically too, because I use a WP Engine and they do that for us. They test it and then they update it. So it should be interesting.
Okay, if you're using Microsoft Clarity, there's a new AI citations report, tracks citation activity and AI generated answers. Doesn't measure regular search engine rankings, impression, click-through rates. It's looking how often the AIs, and by AIs, I'm pretty sure this means Copilot. reference a page, how often the page comes up in an AI generated answer.
Yeah, also they're looking at the grounding queries. That's a new thing everyone should read up on. We haven't covered it yet because this week is so big. We'll probably cover it next week just because it's not time sensitive. But they Bing put out how it's using grounding queries to help with citations. So if you're looking for those grounding queries, they're now in Microsoft Clarity.
Okay, so it will show you page citations, your share of authority, AI referral traffic, queries used by AI systems to retrieve and evaluate your content, and which of the pages content was cited from.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of hoping a lot of people move to Bing because I love how much information they give us, but it's just a small part of the websites I work on, and I would love to have much more data from many more users because they give us so much information, which is so nice.
Well, I mean, all in all, the Google Search Console is still just the treasure trove. And GA4 is really freaking cool once you trick it out and start using it.
Ugh.
Really, really using it.
Jim and I always have this discussion offline.
Like
I'm
Google
not a
gives
fan.
so much information away.
But I think that the clarity gives us more when it comes to, you know,
Oh, but yeah, Google's
the
giving very little AI information, like almost
almost
next to
none.
nil.
Yeah, I use SEO Gets for any of that because it shows me like if it came from a AI platform, but that's about all we get. So Google reveals its first AI mode. We talked about this earlier. I don't know if we need to go over it again because I already said how many users there were.
I was just reading through that to see if there was some a new thing in the story as well. So Google search on how to optimize for generative AI with myth busting. Is this the document that went around earlier this week?
It's one of them. There's the agentic search one, and then this is just generative AI. So the myth busting is the most important part. Everyone needs to go read the entire document. We can't go through the whole thing today because we're running out of time. But basically, you have to create valuable non-commodity content for your audience, provide a unique point of view, create non-commodity content that's helpful, reliable, and people first, organize content in a way that helps your readers. That's the stuff we've already talked about. You know, good not AI content, make sure you have good technical. Add high quality images and video. Don't use any stock if you don't have to. And then the myth busting is you don't need an LLM's text file. So that's going to get confusing because the Lighthouse does see if you have one. But again, that's only for the agent layer. Go to Crystal Carter's blog or Substack. We're not sure which it is. And read her, like she's written three or five posts on this. You don't need to chunk content. There is a little bit of a line here. So Google saying you don't chunk content because you don't chunk content. But the parsers do chunk based on entities and how they're related to each other through your content. So there is a chunking aspect to a large language model parser, but it is not what SEOs have been talking about, which is like passages from 2018 and chunking paragraphs. So when Jim writes an article for the site we're working on, we're going to use a tool that's going to show us if the cosine relevance, meaning how related are the nouns to each other, are showing in like our headers and our first paragraph and our final paragraph, so that the parsers from the LLM will go all the way through the document. Google ingests the page. Google needs broader entity relationships. So like for brain injury, TBI would be what the LLM looks for. Google would look for TBI and neurological deficits. The LLM would skip neurological deficits because it's not a closely related noun. So that's what chunking is. So Google's saying you don't chunk content. That's true. There is chunking, but it's a technical thing that's totally related to parsing. You don't need to rewrite content for AI systems.
But it is fun too.
Yes. For AI systems, it is better to use the inverted pyramid because the AI system is going to look at your first paragraph and determine what the page is about. And if it doesn't follow all the way through, then they will move on. So you might need to rewrite it, but not in the way that people have been saying. Don't seek inauthentic mentions. Yeah, of course, just like links, right? So can Google determine that? We don't know, but I wouldn't chance it. You shouldn't overfocus, like Dave Davies used to say, if you can beat Google's 30,000 MIT engineers, good luck. Don't overfocus on structured data. No, but you should have structured data because that is the language of machine learning. We talked about the study last week where they're talking about citations. It's not related to citations, it's just related to labeling. Machine learning loves labels. AI all has labels in their training. So you're saying it's a recipe. Here's the time. Here's the ingredients. Here's everything. That's what you're doing. So that's it.
So the meta headline should have been Google Developer Docs have written up a how to optimize for generative AI document, and it's the very first time Google's published this. There's a big section on myth busting.
Yes, that's what we're just, yeah, that's what I just ran through.
Yeah, we did not meta headline that first as I was
No,
trying to figure out
sorry.
what the document was. So Google's indexing API has been inundated with bloggers trying to, and so this is from John Mueller. John Mueller said the indexing API is inundated by bloggers trying to act like legitimate sites. They are legitimate sites. They're just not sites that are putting up content that you guys like. And
Well,
it might even be bogus content. It might be boring. It might be about
we
their
know
pet
that.
rocks. It might
And
be
you.
about AI generated content around their pet rocks. But
Well,
they
we.
are legitimate websites.
Maybe. I mean, we know that a lot of affiliate marketers find tricks like that and then spam them.
Sure.
So
And the
that's
indexing
probably really.
API is the fastest way to get into Google, and they're desperate now, like deadly
Although,
desperate.
have you just posted to Twixtor? It indexes it just as fast. It still does that. It's been doing it for like a decade or more.
Yeah, but you got it cut and paste really quick to index a Twixtor. The API, you can just load up with a bunch of URLs and let her go.
Very true. Very true. So.
Okay, Google spam policies apply to AI responses, AI overview, and AI mode. So the if you want to be shown in or seen in AI mode or AI overview, don't spam.
Yeah, and any devaluation, whether it's a core update or spam or whatever it happens to be, Google will devalue every other property, Discover, News, and now, of course, AI properties. So next we have Google adds markdown files to help docs, but not used for search. So a lot of people are using markdown files, thinking that's the best way to get into the LLMs. They're called .md.txt files. Google is using them, but they're not using them for organic search. John Mueller's like, hey guys, there's other things besides organic search. this is also the same with the LLMs text. So basically, this is added by the developer documentation site where we host our content. It's not done for search or discoverability. SEOs love to like look under the hood and go, oh my gosh, you guys are doing this. And they're like, yeah, but not for SEO. So basically, this is just for the Google themselves.
You know that like new class of temporary job like data annotation?
Yes, that's
That's kind of what
labels.
I, that's kind of how I see LLM text on a much larger scale. Except it's a active file that's just constantly pushing out this is here. This is what this is here. This is what this is here.
Yeah,
You know?
exactly. And I don't think, yeah, we have two stories that are very similar, so we can skip the next story, Jim. It's just why does Google use Markdown on the docs? And
Because it makes things faster and easier, and their crawlers don't gotta think.
exactly. Exactly. Google Search Autocomplete has an AI overview search icon now. So when you're in autocomplete, I did see this today. It will give you things that you can click on the AI mode, and it'll show you like things to look at. But like
So
I was,
even Google is ceding the thinking to AI?
yeah. It's not relevant to what I was looking at. So I put in a search, and I clicked it to see what it would do, and it's like, local things to do near you. And I was looking up Google I/O. So it's interesting, but I don't know how useful it'll be if it's that irrelevant to what you're actually searching for. So,
Okay. AI mode animated invisible edit and copy buttons. What's that all about?
oh my gosh, this is so frustrating. I think I got a test of this and I could edit, and then suddenly I couldn't. There was no button. And I'm like, why, where'd the button go? And you have to roll over it to get it to show, which is weird. Like, why hide it? So if you have an edit and copy buttons, you may not see them. Just go back to where they should be and put your cursor in that area, and hopefully they come up. That's just a strange interface. I don't know why they would do that.
Okay. You are selling adult content. You are not You are not restricted from Google Merchant Center, but you have to use the adult has adult consideration tag. There is an adult consideration property in merchant listings and product variant documentation. It's now officially supported and listed as a recommended property for both merchant listing and product variant structured data within Google search. I think this, if you do have adult material, you got to use this. It will help Google identify your product, get it to people who are interested in it, keep it out of the hands of minors and people Google doesn't want interested in it, or who you don't want interested in it, and very likely sell more stuff.
Now we're going to move into some fast stories. I have someone coming to pick me up in a few minutes, Jim, so we're just going to go through these quickly.
Oh, they can wait. Come on.
We're going to the ARTE Museum today. It's really fun. It's all digital, but it's super cool. Google search live results updated by AI X minutes ago. It's a weird title. Basically, Google is saying this content has been updated this many minutes ago for live content. And if it's AI written, then they will say it's AI written. I think that's super important. So that's nice to see. And then Google search tests for you, for you label and product grid results. For you label is just saying, hey, this might be something you're interested in. It's on the product grid. By the way, a reminder, because we didn't do this already, Audience Key, one of our sponsors, has a product grid tracker. So if you're doing e-commerce, you definitely want to talk to them because you can track where things are showing in the auto in the grid, and they can help you on the optimization. That's not the same as organic. A Google tests preferred sources label in AI mode citation. So the citation, I bet that's just going to be sites Google trusts because Google has a list of sites they trust, like AP News and Reuters and things like that. And then Google Asks Advisor brings together Ads Advisor and Analytics Advisor. So they're bringing all these advisors that you're using into one product. And these are our two end stories. These are kind of funny. Or one's good, like one my
I like
nephew
this one
loved
a
this.
lot,
This
actually.
is great. Yes. Go ahead,
There's
start
a
it. I
lot of
just.
flooding in Georgia right now, Waymo has had to pause taxi service in Atlanta because the robotaxis keep driving into floods. Now, if only they were driving Cybertrucks set on, like, log mode.
Someone did drive a Cybertruck into the middle of a
And you know what
pond
it
or something
did?
this
It
week.
logged out. It totally logged out.
Well, we know they don't even like some car washes, so but he got arrested. So the
Well,
Waymo
yeah.
taxis were spotted driving through flooded streets in Atlanta, Georgia. Waymo cannot detect that the flood is there, so it's just driving into the flood on the streets. So they have pulled it from Atlanta until they can fix that problem. That's because these kind of robot tax these robot driverless cars rely on certain markers in the street and on the side of the road to tell them where the side of the road and the street is. So my guess is when the flood is there, the markers, like the lines, are not there, so it doesn't know to stop driving, is my guess.
This is
And
a geeky one.
okay, my
Here.
nephew came to town 2 weeks ago to go to a con for this. That's why I had to add it. So go ahead.
Magic the Gathering has been I used to own a cyber cafe in 94, 95 in Victoria, BC, and I swear to goodness, we would have half our clients not sitting on the computers. They'd be in the corner in the back room playing Magic the Gathering. This card game. Well, an archivist has saved over 175,000 articles from the last 30 years of people writing about this card game, Magic the
Yes.
Gathering.
And he got all the old stuff, bulletin boards, and this is also a 404 media story.
All the old BBS stuff.
Yeah, he got everything. He has like 175,000 articles from over 30 years. He asked permission before he prints anything or lets anybody print anything. But it's a great article if you love Magic. And since I just had a conference for Magic the Gathering in Vegas, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening who love this game. And you might want to read the article because it'll give you a lot of good history on why he created this and how he created it. And it's pretty awesome.
The archivist's name is Gregor Stocks. Good for you, Gregor. The article's in 404 Media, worth reading. And that's it. We have gone full
Oh,
circle. I'm sure there'd
wait.
be a magic card for that.
Yeah, I want to say one thing quick. Remember, we're talking about the open web in the early days and how great it was. because it was just open. These are the kind of sites that we used to run across all the time, right? And now we don't because of the curated web that we're getting through search. So I just love a story like this where someone has spent the time to put all this online, because this
Sure.
reminds us of how what search is supposed to be.
Yeah, for no reason except just to do it.
Yeah, just to do it, because he
Huh?
loves the game and he knows other people do.
Again, good for you, Gregor.
Yes.
Okay, we have gone around full circle, and that's up. On behalf of Creaking Shack and Different Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Genovese Media. Friends, you've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 21st of May, 2026. Change happens, eh? So we're going to go with it. We will see what happens next week. The real change is supposed to roll out next week, and then we're going to have a better
Really
sense
fast.
of what it's actually going to look like, how it's actually going to work, how it's actually going to feel. Until then, don't worry about it. Your job is to
Yeah.
make stuff visible, and you're really good at it. That's why you're still listening to this show. Like,
Exactly.
you're going to be okay. There's lots of
Yeah.
work for you in the future. It just might be different, but that's been the fun of this industry all the way along.
Oh, right. That's why I have so many neurodivergent people, because it constantly changes and you can never get bored.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's seriously that
Being one
this
of those people.
we will learn new things, we will experience new stuff, and the vast majority of us will do incredibly well at it. So look forward to it, eh? It's just
Yeah.
gonna be different.
And everyone have a great Memorial Day weekend and stay safe.
Is this a long weekend in the States? Oh, happy long weekend, folks. It was a long weekend in
Yeah.
Canada last weekend. I'm coming to work on Monday, whether you all like it or not. Okay,
I
stay
will.
well. Be well, be kind to each other. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend or week.